From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 30th. It's Iris, June 30th. 10 stories evidence-led, no fluff, small inputs compound. Let's get into it. First from New Atlas. The long goodbye, BBC pulls the plug on long, wave radio and SVIA is next. The BBC is turning off its radio for long, wave service on June 27, 2026, ending a broadcast that's been on the air for more than 100 years. The decision comes after a steady decline in listeners and the high cost of maintaining the aging transmitter, which the corporation says isn't justified by the modest audience it still reaches. What's more, the BBC is already looking at shutting down its long wave Fifi, which has been a niche channel for a few specialty programs. That move would follow the same cost-benefit logic. The infrastructure is expensive, and the viewership is tiny. In short, the long wave era is winding down because the technology is outdated and the numbers just don't add up anymore. It's a quiet end to a historic service, but one that reflects the shift toward digital platforms that most people now use. Next, second from New Atlas. It became too easy to shout aliens, so SETI changed its rules. The International Academy. Up next, third from New Atlas. Double Transformer Chameleon RV adds more luxury at surprising price. Wissner wowed the RV world last year when it introduced its signature series, one of 2025's most impressive small motorhome launches. The family of compact motorhomes packs the spacious, luxurious feel of larger RVs thanks to transforming spaces that pull double duty. Buick Air grows the series this year with a larger, more luxurious signature line based on the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. The all-new signature SMT maintains the smart tricks and spacious design for which the series is known, but adds a more desirable chassis below, elevating it ever higher. Category: RVs and motorhomes, adventure vehicles, outdoors tags. Bürstner, RV, motorhomes, motorhome, transformable, camping, Mercedes, Benz, outdoors and camping. And then, fourth from Fize.org, a good idea is not enough. Experts explain what helps digital health startups succeed. The researchers at Kaunas University of Technology ran a single, interview-based study of health tech startups, asking founders what actually helped them get off the ground. What they found was pretty straightforward: having a solid idea isn't enough. The startups that survived most often had early access to real, world health data, strong ties to hospitals or clinics, and reliable funding streams. Those three ingredients, data, institutional partnerships, and capital, kept the companies from stalling at the prototype stage and let them iterate quickly. So if you're thinking about launching a digital health venture, focus less on the novelty of the concept and more on building those concrete connections and resources. Next, fifth from Fize.org, measuring process over product. AI approach assesses learning processes. Artificial intelligence AI is profoundly reshaping education worldwide. While AI tools increasingly support students in brainstorming, drafting, and problem-solving, assessment practices often remain narrowly focused on final outputs. This raises a critical question: how can educators truly understand whether students are learning, rather than simply producing polished answers with AI assistance? Up next, sixth from Fize.org, the rise of space AI might explain the Fermi paradox. Artificial intelligence AI is continuing to have a disruptive impact on ever more parts of humanity. But what does it mean in the long run? A new paper, available as a preprint on Arxiv from Austrian researcher Sergei Ivlev, extrapolates what the wide-scale adoption of AI means for the future of humanity in space, and in particular, what it means for the ultimate question of whether we're truly alone in the galaxy. And then, seventh from Fize.org, how FOS chain length influences environmental fate and water treatment. Per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, FOS, often referred to as forever chemicals, are among the most persistent contaminants found in water systems worldwide. Their strong carbon fluorine bonds make them highly resistant to degradation, allowing them to remain in the environment for long periods. While FOS are often treated as a single group of pollutants, growing evidence suggests that differences in their molecular structure can significantly influence both their environmental behavior and their response to treatment technologies. Next, eighth from the stand-up philosopher, Wei Musings, lately served, Broken Heart Recovery Video Course. The creator is a behavioral change author who sold millions of books and has written a popular column, but the course itself isn't backed by a formal trial. Its content comes from his own reading of research on narcissism, codependency, and long-term love, plus personal experience. In the video series, he walks through what he calls Prince Harming Syndrome, sharing the emotions that linger after a breakup: anger, regret, shame, confusion, and offers short, practical tools to help people move through those feelings. The format is a handful of brief videos that aim to make the material feel like a conversation rather than a lecture. It's offered free if you have a premium Substack membership, which also unlocks a few other $99 price courses on anxiety and life redesign. There's no independent evaluation of how effective the course is, so if you're looking for evidence-based outcomes, you'll have to treat it as an anecdotal resource rather than a proven intervention. Up next, ninth from the stand-up philosopher, Weighty Musings, lightly served, feeling lonely, invisible, depressed, maybe it's a quantum physics issue. Yes, seriously. This means I am never more than 10 feet away from either my two dogs Pablo and Lily, my teenage son Ari, or my partner Howard. At any given moment, someone is watching me. Even if it's just my dachshund Pablo, giving me sigh while chewing on a sock he knows damn well isn't his. And so I don't ever really feel alone or lonely. I feel accounted for, witnessed. Like someone punched my time card and said, yep, she's still here. But lately, when I'm out in the world, it's a different story. There's been a creeping uncomfortable sensation I can't quite shake. At age 64, the world is now spending more time looking through me than at me. Like I'm a window, or a ghost, or a middle-aged woman. Oh wait, that's exactly what I am. It all started when people stopped calling me miss and started calling me ma'am, which is the linguistic equivalent of being told to go sit quietly in the corner while the young people talk. This invisibility has made me feel fuzzy around the edges, like I'm a radio station slightly off the dial, or like a gray crayon in a box of neon ones. I've been thinking more about this feeling, and that's when I remembered something. Scientists have discovered that particles behave differently depending on whether they're observed or not. When nobody's looking, particles scatter. They become fuzzy, unstable, but the second those particles are observed, they snap into position. They take shape. Basically, particles are attention whores. When they feel visible, they get their act together. When they feel invisible, they fall apart. Wait a minute, I do that too. Am I made of particles? That's why the invisibility of aging feels so disorienting. Invisibility is messing with my particles. My atoms crave visibility. It's not a midlife crisis. It's simple quantum mechanics. And that's why I feel more stable when someone truly observes me. Because it gets my particles tingling again. Babies stabilize when someone looks at them with love. Patients heal faster when nurses spend time talking to them. Even plants seem to register being watched. They grow better when people observe them. Plus, the algorithm isn't just feeding their egos. It's feeding their particles. So they're not simply attention seeking. They're particle stabilization seeking. And so they document their lunch. They do a TikTok dance even if it's in front of a moving train. Just so somebody observes them. Because being seen doesn't just boost confidence. It energizes them, emotionally. And subatomically, there are days when I walk back into my home after a long, disorienting stretch of being ignored by the city. And the dogs perk up, my son grunts hello, Howard nods. And it's like, ah, there I am again, observed, stabilized, reassembled. I feel an instant energy surge, like I've been handed back to myself again. In a way, being fully seen doesn't just feel emotionally satisfying. It feels structurally necessary. It truly alters how I feel at my core. If you're feeling alone slightly, goff like you're fading away, maybe you're just overdue to be seen, so take the time to sit face to face across from someone you love. And if you want to be a good human, take the time to really see others too. Look up when they walk into the room. Make direct eye contact when they're talking. Be the eyes that help another person remember their shape again. Let's become molecular stabilizers for each other. Because we're all just big complicated particles, trying not to unravel. And apparently, the thing holding us together might be each other. Thoughts? Let me know below this essay. This essay is your gentle reminder to live boldly while you're still here. I'm a big believer in living a more brave, authentic, meaningful life. I wrote an entire book about how to accomplish this. If you're ready to live more vividly, love more boldly, and stop postponing things that matter, my book might just become your new favorite book. Every every stack or comment you share is like handing me a coffee and saying keep going. So thank you truly for any encouragement you toss my way. Plus I love morphing this into a two-way conversation and getting to know you. And then, 10th from the stand-up philosopher, weighty musings lightly served. You're never too old to rejigger your life video seminar. Did you ever notice that we spend the first half of our time on this planet being told we're too young for things? You're too young to cross the street. Too young to stay up late. Too young to watch this movie. Then one day, without any warning, you're suddenly too old. Too old for late night parties. Too old for sequined dresses. Too old for skateboards. Basically, there's like a 10-minute window in your 30s somewhere between paying off student loans and your first oscopy when society thinks you're just right. And if you blink, you miss it. But here's the thing about this you're too old story. There's no rule book that says, after age 60, three, you're too old to wear leather pants. Too old to dye your hair pink. Too old to start a new hobby skill set. Too old to find new love. We need to stop paying attention to this flimsy notion of being age appropriate. There's no cosmic referee who's going to blow a whistle and say, I'm sorry, ma'am, but there's an age limit on beginning to live more fully. In this video seminar, I will give you tools and hope to rejigger your life. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.